News was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Yes, it's hump day, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, July the 22nd. Right here in River City, California, Redding, California. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com at 7:07 in the morning. Good morning, Linda.
Well, good morning, Carl and Bob. And, hey, Bob, I just want to thank you so much. You did a great job on the news this morning. I know that our Bob Martin is recovering from a small procedure.
Yeah. You know, I kind of miss the, you know, because when I was doing news back in the day, we'd come in and the teletype went,
and you can make noises like that, can't you?
Teletypes were awful, noisy, dirty machines. They just spread the junk everywhere. But, of course, these days we have this internet thing that stops working when you need it the most.
Well, you know what you could do is you can turn on the emergency
screen freeze.
Yeah.
You can turn on the emergency activation center, you know, the emergency alert center here. You can make that sound.
Don't just read the news. Be the news. Yeah.
And you can go, and then you can do the weather report. You can do the traffic reports. There we are up in Casey on our helicopter. Oh, we're above Eureka right now. Oh, looks like the traffic's moving pretty well as
great
usual.
Scenes from
okay, hey, Captain Mike, how about moving over to Cyprus? What's it look like in Cyprus? Oh, hey, look, we're backed up almost two cars at one of the stoplights here. Okay, looks like a traffic jam starting up there. All right, Captain Mike, back to the studio.
71 degrees in the downtown studios. Looks like we're going to have a sunny day with temperatures around 94. Mostly clear tonight with temperatures around 73. Great job, Carl. That was a tie. Another small tirade. But anyway, Bob, congratulations again. Nice job. Nice job. I know you're going to be here for, I guess, the duration of the week doing the morning news.
That's it. Still being figured out.
Okay. Well, thank you anyway.
We'll have to see how damaged other Bob is.
Tomorrow, 89 degrees. Friday looks like it's going to be 93, and Saturday, 95. Sunday, 97. So we have a mostly clear forecast ahead of us. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where our customers are warm friends. Or it's really cool to be a Shasta Gas customer, actually. A locally owned and operated where they give senior and veteran discounts, 365-3793.
The paper you have in front of you, I was getting ready to tell you, is from yesterday, by the way, guys.
Okay.
There's another copy.
Well, I was looking at, you know, it was really funny because I know yesterday
there's
you
were... actually two newspapers floating around.
Okay, you were talking, and I was looking at the story about the Gironde's being taken over, and I had some friends that went there. Well, not Gironde's being taken over, but it's actually Carlene Niver, who, of course, Deja Vu, loved Deja Vu. The owner of Deja Vu is expanding out to have taken over Gironde's. And it's, Jim and Penny Gironde. You know, this is all, amicable.
Yep.
But anyway, so I had some friends that went Saturday night, and they said the food was really good.
Well, she said she was tightening up the menu.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they can do that, tightening up the menu, keeping the Gironde's favorites there, the old dishes that were, of course, very well received. And just, you know, it's her place now. And it's good because it was done. I like the way you say it. There was no distaste on anybody's part or, oh, gosh, I have to sell it. No, it was time for Jim and Penny to sell. Jim, as everybody you know that knows Jim, has had a few health problems, and he didn't want Penny to be working herself to death. But a lot of other things are happening too. In our society today, we're also having Jonathan Anderson will join us from the Good News Rescue Mission. Of course, the big news, if you're looking at it on the front page, is that crime's dropped in Redding in the first 6 months of the year. Violent crime is down 13%. That's good. The property crime, however, is dropped 1.8%, which is really not noticeable. And when you start talking about increases or decreases, you have to take a look at the number of cases we're talking about, too. Robberies increased 5%. What does that mean to you, Bob?
Means that there's just that much more odds of coming out and finding my stuff gone.
Okay.
Now, in the hands of somebody who didn't want to earn it.
Robberies increased by 5%. Or four cases. That's, you know, that's the part. We're, it's the kind of numbers we're talking about. So aggravated assaults dropped 18%. That's 38 cases. Now you're getting up there, 38. But, you know, when you get to a 5% increase and they're talking about four cases, or property crime is down 1.8%, it's hardly not noticeable. However, and this is what Paletti, Chief Paletti is saying, and we'll have to probably make sure we can get his comments tomorrow, is that the crime, he says he still believes that a lot of crime is still not being reported. He just says it's just anecdotal evidence, but he believes that a lot of times people just don't report crimes.
Well, when you dial to make a report and nobody shows up for most of a day, people get discouraged. Word gets out.
That's true. And so, and whether it's even, you know, and it could have just happened once, but all it has to do is people talk about it all the time. So the bottom line on it is, though, is that it maybe, you know, it's Proposition 47 when they were turning, you know, to making the releasing people and making their second strikes and taking that away and all this. Looks like it hasn't had an effect yet, but we're not sure yet. So we can't say anything yet. The only thing we do know is that AB-109 had a huge, huge impact on us. A huge impact on the community and the state of California. And now we're taking a look and seeing what Proposition 47 can be. That's going to take a while, though.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Are you...
it happens. Okay. We're live.
It's okay with me. And you know what? The you know, this portion of the show, of course, is brought to you by our friends over at Sleep Number. And now they've got Sleep IQ Kids. That's right. You know, you've talked about the Sleep IQ technology that has. You don't have to do anything but sleep. And sleep, and it gives you reports. It comes back to you and says, perhaps you could go, you know, perhaps you could, you know, stop looking at your computer at night or change your setting or something. But now with Sleep IQ for kids, it's so important that kids get good night's sleep. You know, we always talk about, like, adults and the mattresses that we use. Like, my Sleep Number setting is 40. And Linda's Sleep Number setting is also.
Oh, it's been going down to 40.
It's also 40.
We started at 55, and that's the beautiful part of what you can do with your when you can select your number, depending on how you're feeling. And I'm finding that just a little bit more cush for me has been good. Long days, you know, lots of activity in my life. So 40 is good for me. Now, you may... You can go all the way up to 100. 100 is very, very firm, and it's nice to be able to select if you're, you know, right. Extra sore, tired. Yeah.
Yeah, and now with the new Sleep IQ Kids bed, this kid that lets you know, this bed is the first bed that lets you know how your child is sleeping. That's right. Is your child sleeping well? Because a well-rested child means they grow better, they're better in school, they're healthier, just like us. You know, we're healthier, we're better at work if we sleep well. And that's what Sleep Number does. So you need to find out, take a look at this bed. For the kids, Sleep IQ technology. Also have it, you know, for you and your Sleep IQ technology. But the only way you're going to do that is to head on down to our local store right in the Target Shopping Center. Head on over there and see Brian, Janice, any of the professionals there. Get on the bed. Have them adjust it for you. Have your kids lay on the bed. Have them adjust it for the children, too. I'm telling you, you are never going to sleep better than you will on a Sleep Number bed. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR, 1460.
Finding cute clothes and accessories in town? Look no further than Dandelion Boutique in our very own downtown Reading. Specializing in the hottest brands from Spanx, to Alex and Ani, and of course, a huge selection of Brighton jewelry, perfect to make any gift or occasion memorable. So come say hi to the girls of Dandelion at their new spot, 1322 Pine Street, or call 247-1292. Dandelion, unique gifts and more.
This is Jonathan Anderson, director of the Good News Rescue Mission. In response to the concerns of our community caused by the recent recession, changes in our state law, prolonged drug problems, and an increase in mental health issues, the mission has examined its policies and practices in order to take a proactive approach. We have developed great incentive programs to help keep people off the streets and to help them break the cycle of poverty. However, we have also implemented strict policies to deter those who are criminally active and bent on destruction in our community. Any guests who are caught loitering, stealing, or panhandling will have an alert placed on their electronic account and will be denied services until they speak with a case management team to address their negative behaviors. Last year, with these efforts, we helped 250 people break their cycle of poverty and are no longer on the streets of Shasta County. To help break the cycle of poverty in our community, please visit us at gnrm.org.
A few years back, a state agency called regarding a large shipment of new cars that had a steering problem. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. They informed me shops all over California had looked at them, but no one could recommend a solution. The problem was, one front wheel turned quicker and farther than the other, causing erratic steering. Front wheels should turn together. Our inspection revealed a major steering component was incorrectly mounted from the factory. We fabricated a gauge to demonstrate the difference in travel from side to side, while a state supervisor observed. Then we relocated the steering component as indicated by our gauge. A test drive by the supervisor proved excellent. He had only one question. How long will it take to do 1,200 cars? Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California. 45 years in business and loving every minute of it.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Well, we have the barbecue bottles have showed up at the plant now, and we have an exchange program if you're in a hurry. Gary, Mad Dog Stallone, and Rhett are waiting to help you. Robin also has propane exchange at Corning, so stop by and let her show you. Joe is filling tanks and motorhomes at Weaverville, so come in and say hello. We have all the bulk oil tanks full at the Redding plant and everything from tractor hydraulic to synthetic motor oils and lubes. Before the boys run off to the fires, check your tanks and levels and give Danny a call. We deliver about everywhere. A special thank you to all the companies and individuals who donated to the 4-H FFA Community Barbecue. It was very hot, but it turned out to be a great success. Thanks from all of us at Northern Lights Energy. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
All right, man, grab a Budweiser and take a knee. Well, it's baseball season, and there's nothing more American than watching America's game with America's beer. So let me ask you something. Are you ready for pitcher's duels and slugfest? Huh? Tell me, are you ready for the thrill of an incredible walk-off victory? Then get on your feet, raise an ice-cold Bud, and let's make this season larger than life. Great times are waiting. Grab some Bud!
Enjoy responsibly. Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's Carl and Linda Butt and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Good morning. Welcome back to KCNR 1460 on this beautiful Wednesday morning, 22nd of July. So much going on this week. This portion of the show is brought to you by Shasta Regional. At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we know medical care can change the body, but treating people well can change their lives.
70 years in business, top 100 hospitals. Shasta Regional Medical Center, that's top 100 hospitals in the nation. Okay, you hear the paper rustling because I just have to pick it up and I'm shaking it right now just because I'm trying to get it under control. But here, CSU, the California State University's board approves raises for top executives. They're going to get a 2% pay raise there for the chancellors, presidents, and vice chancellors serving 460,000 students enrolled in 23 campuses. These increases are at a blow, which has been provided to other employee groups, the university, and and Faculty Personnel Committee wrote in its presentation. The Reyes will make San Diego State President or San Diego State University President Elliot Hersham CSU's highest paid campus president. His annual base pay will rise to $420,000, $420,240 for him. Now, that's just his base pay. I'm sure there's other things in there. CSU System Chancellor Timothy White's pay will increase to $430,746. Ooh, so this is, I mean, this is a lot of money there. And then the average CSU faculty salary has increased 8% since 2004, rising from $46,362 to $50,179. That's the California State Universities, is that right? Their average faculty is only making $50,000 a year, while the average pay for a campus president has risen 44% from $218,871 in 2004 to $314,357. Telling me the average faculty professor is only making $50,000? I can't believe
You can't be expected to spend 8 years of your life in college and make $50,000.
The average CSU faculty salary has increased 8% since 2004, rising from $46,362 to $50,179. That's what it says right here in the Record Searchlight from an Associated Press article they just plunged into their paper. That doesn't seem right.
No.
I've never thought, college professors got to have, but this is the average of all the faculty, but aren't all the faculty at least have masters? I mean, I would think that. If you're teaching at the college level, you have got to be making more money than that. And if you're not, then they ought to be marching in the streets with pitchforks and fire heading for Elliot Hersham's campus office, and he's making $420,000 base pay. Look this up, Bob. This can't be right.
I'm looking it up. CSU
this
facilities.
Can't be right.
Actually, an assistant professor averages $67,000 a year. A lecturer averages about $57,000 a year.
And this is at the CSU?
Yeah.
Well, that's not what it says here. So they're averaging, around $50,000 a lecturer. Does that mean you're non-tenured?
Yeah, you're only working X number of, and of course you've got...
Okay, what about tenured professors?
A full-on professor, as of the latest numbers. Now, this number I can actually believe, a full-on professor making about $95,000 a year.
Okay, so this
one I'll swallow.
Yeah, so the average CSU faculty salary, and that could be... You know, those could be like people under teaching classes, like their undergrads or their masters working on their PhDs, and they're getting paid a stipend there.
Yeah,
and there.
An associate professor makes about $80,000, and an assistant. Those numbers, numbers in this, they didn't Google the numbers.
Well, they probably used the numbers from the union.
Well, or the part-time lecturer, which is about $48,000.
Well, yeah, but see, if they add all of them in. Because they can be considered a faculty member. They had all that stuff in. And they can probably get that $50,000. But when you get into an associate professor at, $90,000?
And those numbers are as of 2011. That's the latest ones I can find.
So they've gone up,
too. It's got to be more than that.
Yeah. But still, even if they've risen 8% and the presidents have gone up 44%, I mean, come on. That's quite a lot of – there's a big difference there. And that's a lot of money to be paying people. I kind of reminds me about how we're just – I didn't say in the paper how that raise went. You know, the guy that's taking Bill Nagel's place, they're raising his pay up to $11,600 a month. It just seems to me that $11,600 a month would be a good salary here in Reading. I mean, that's just the salary. What about the benefits that go along with it? That raises another $60,000 or $70,000, I imagine. So I don't understand why we have to raise the pay $400. I think it's like $400 a month, which would be, of course, $5,000 a year.
Well, a recent article in the LA Times says that faculty say some of them their salary is so low they got to work two jobs or end up on food stamps.
Wow.
On average, members earn $45,000 before taxes and other deductions.
Wow.
You go to school for that long to make $45,000?
A lot of people go to school for a long time and can hardly make.
I can go ask people if they want fries for that right. And do that good.
You know, I can do, I'm going to go to San Francisco. I get paid $15 an hour for flipping burgers.
And I guess in one of the correctional facilities, they're paying the kids $25, is it a week, if they behave inside the correctional facility. Here's something in the news that is just a, ridiculous piece of trivia, but however, it is something that happens in the United Kingdom. The Queen owns all the swans in Britain.
Is that?
Yes, and for over 700 years, it's called the swan upping that's happening right now. It was a piece of valid legislation back in medieval times when swans were a delicacy reserved for the wealthiest of dinner tables. But it's continued to be. Upper starts at 8:42 a.m. from a bridge spanning the River Thames. On one side of the river is Eton, with its long street of stores selling cricket gear and tweed jackets leading to the farmed boy school. On the other is Windsor, where the castle rises grandly from the pretty leafy town below. The Queen is a resident of Windsor Castle, and of course. So this has been going over for 700 years. They said for 65 years she's attended every year.
What do they do?
It's a ceremonial thing. It's pomp and circumstance remains because they're technically the Queen's birds. So they take them out and they count them. They count every swan. For 700 years, swan-related royal duties were handled by the keeper of the swans.
I wonder how much he got paid.
Yeah, but I wonder if it makes more than a Cal State
professor. Exactly. 1993, a major shakeup in royal swan bureaucracy split the position into two offices, swan marker and swan warden. Since then, the roles have been held, respectively, by David Barber and Chris Parents. There is a non-swan face of this upping. He wears a white cap with a swan feather. And I just thought it was funny. So now you know, if you ever hear about the swan upping in England, now you know what it is.
Well, that leads us into our next next brought to you by.
Well, we want to get into a segue here.
Yeah. Northern Firearms Instruction.
Oh, gosh.
Where not only do they teach you how to use a concealed carry weapon and get you your permit for that, they also go into swan shooting.
Oh, my gosh.
It's swan hunting. But you've got to have special permission from the Queen of England to hunt swans. I just want you to know that. Not only do they teach a complete CCW class, but also hunter safety courses. They don't teach people how to hunt swans.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Now, if you don't have a gun.
For those little kiddies getting in and out of the car.
If you don't have a gun, they will provide a pistol and ammunition for you at Northern Firearms Instruction and then help you pick out the right pistol for you that you will feel comfortable with in shooting and protecting yourself. Register online at readingccw.com or call NFI at 999-1822. They're very busy over there. There's a lot of people wanting to learn to shoot, and I can't imagine why. All this at Northern Firearms Instruction. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after the news or after these messages. I want to talk about Planned Parenthood. I'm sorry. I just got to jump right back into this mess again. And are the flags at half-mast for those five military or half-staff for those five military? Let's find out.
Summer is here, and it's time to enjoy the great outdoors. Whether you're headed to the lake, Burney Falls, going fishing, or throwing a barbecue, Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop for summer fun. Stop by the meat department for the best prices around and try our own country sausage made in-store. Mighty Fine has over 1,000 drinks to choose from, and we barbecue every Friday all summer long. So pick up a tri-tip, rack of ribs, barbecue chicken, or a Polish dog. Stop by the deli for fried chicken or a sandwich made just the way you like it. We are a locally owned and operated family company at 299 and Deschutes in Bella Vista. Mighty Fine Foods, your one-stop shop on the way to the lake.
Beat the heat in the coolest place in town, Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Play with us this summer and enjoy air-conditioned indoor fun. Cool off with art at Make and Take Tuesdays. Play along in our passport raffle at Aquatic Adventures. and avoid a brain freeze in Mindbender Mansion. Learn all about Turtle Bay's resident animals at Walk on the Wild Side. When temperatures soar, come chill with us. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month, next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
It's Carl and Linda Butt and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Work for my daddy-o. Work for my daddy-o.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460.
What?
Hello. With Carl and Linda Butt, and of course Bad Bob Belangi on the music trigger. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Great jewelry there. The state jewelry is finest selections there. If you can't see it in the display racks, ask Leonard. He has thousands of pieces of jewelry that he's more than willing to show you. Great prices on all of it. A man of integrity, honesty, will give you the best deal possible on the finest selection of jewelry in Reading. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Open Monday through Friday from 9:30 to 4. Okay. Drones.
Let's talk about drones.
The city council talked about drones.
They talked about drones, and this is what they said. And this is what they said. Is they were asking about this, about drones. And what the fire chief said is, look, we're going to handle it just like the state and the feds do. If we've got a firefighting aircraft up over the area and a drone shows up, that aircraft comes down. And until we can find the owner of the drone or the drone leaves. So they do not go by the philosophy that the military does when they were doing close air support when artillery was being called in, was big sky, little bullet, where, you know, the chances of getting hit would be slow. And also we used when we first used drones a lot during Desert Storm, we kept the drones at under 5,000 feet and the jets at over 10,000 feet.
Yeah, a little buffer zone.
Yeah, there was a buffer zone there, so they were exceeded that. But in this thing, it's a lot different because they were under military control, both sides, the drones and the planes and the fixed wings. And so when you get into that kind of thing, when you get into people that are running drones out there, you have no idea who they are. You have no idea their capabilities of handling that drone. And you've got aircraft coming down on missions like this, and they could suck a drone into their engine.
Could bring a plane down.
Yeah.
A law being fast-tracked through the legislature says that if a firefighter swats a drone out of the air because it's being a problem, they will not be held liable.
Well, I think that I have no problem with that. If you know, I see that, you know, in this one case on the trestle we had up here, remember the fire on the trestle right here in Reading, there was a drone there, and they found the owner of the drone, and they asked him to please desist, and he did. He pulled it right out. But the point is that there's a lot of people out there that could be using this. These news stations don't have their own helicopter, right?
Right.
So what they do, though, what they could have is a drone with a lot of capability for like $60,000, and they launch it to go to a site. And now you've got from the air, from the eye in the sky coming through. But so you need to have those type of, you know, you're going to have those kind of rules.
It says the drone code, according to this article recently, this article is about a drone pilot warned after close call with passenger jet. It was just a recreational kind of fun thing for the drone, but it almost hit an Airbus. I don't know how, but the drone code says recreational drone owners should always keep their craft within their line of sight about 1,640 feet and must not fly higher than 122 millimeters. In some of the near collisions, drones were flying at heights of about 2,000 feet. The code also says the drones carrying cameras must stay at least 50 millimeters away from people, vehicles.
50, are you sure it's 50 millimeters?
50 meters.
Meters.
Thank you. From people, that's...
1 meter is really small.
Thank you, little M. I'm just so good at math. So, anyway, 50 vehicles and structures said, and most not approach a large group of people closer than 150 little M.
Little M's. Little meters, as opposed to just MMs,
meters.
Which
well,
are millimeters. Okay.
Well, there are MMs, though. Like,
yeah, there is.
A 9mm.
Right.
Yes.
9mm.
Like the one that a enterprising young man in Connecticut mounted on a drone and put out a viral video of the flying drone discharging 4 rounds from a semi-automatic handgun. Naturally, this has the FAA just a little bit upset.
I imagine his parents are not real happy about that
well,
either.
His parents say it's no big deal.
Or the next door neighbor when he sees a drone flying over his house with a 9mm mounted on it. So.
The kid's father says the family hasn't heard from the FAA. Whole situation blown out of proportion.
Oh, my gosh.
He says, I don't understand why people are making such a big deal out of it. It's not like it's anything new. No, it's a gun that's being flown by remote control.
That's kind of new.
Oh, no.
Okay, when we were doing experimental work in the Marine Corps Warfighting Lab, one of the ones was we had a machine gun that was mounted with software and hardware that would sense movement. It's like, you know, like a sensor, like a sensor light. If it sensed movement, it would turn the gun toward the movement and would fire. And the way we practiced this was, the way they showed it to me, displayed it was, you took this big cardboard shield and you held it in front of you and you walked across the room and this paint gun, you know, a paint gun was set up. So when it would, you know, you kind of start and stop and it would stop. Then you start moving and it would start shooting these paintballs at you. Well, it worked. It worked really well. It worked so well that when they asked me what I thought about it, I said, this is absolutely frightening. I said, where's the human in this? And they kind of looked at me because they were technoids from the Sandia Labs. Well, what do you mean? I said, well, what happens? Okay, so you put these machine guns and these weapons on avenues of approach. Out there someplace, you can just put them in there, like, you know, because you know the bad guys are, you know, are snooping and pooping their way down these trails. So when it gets into this trail, this thing's going to start shooting them. I said, where is the man or woman in this that's looking at what it's shooting? What if you've got a Marine patrol that got put in the wrong spot and they're walking along this trail trying to figure out where they are? Now, do we just kill them? There's got to be a human someplace in here, if, you know, with a camera, something. And unless this machine gets a positive fire, then it doesn't shoot.
Well, the Israelis are actually experimenting and marketing these systems. Did a story on that recently, but there is a human in the loop to act as the failsafe to make sure to verify target before you destroy it.
You have to do that. And we had others where we would put our fire and forget. We'd load out. We'd put artillery type of. Weapons out, you just drop them off, and everything's being run by through computers and sensors that you can just load them, and you wouldn't have to have anybody there. They're already loaded, and you just fire them off.
Yeah.
So
anything that can will. Can I talk about the thing with Chrysler Jeeps?
Oh, yeah, that was interesting.
A new vulnerability in the Uconnect system, which is a wireless phone system through Sprint, could give attackers frightening remote powers over Chrysler vehicles, according to a report in Wired magazine. In a live demo, attackers used the vulnerability to cut out a Jeep Cherokee's transmission and brakes, and when the car is in reverse, commandeer the steering wheel, all without physical access to the vehicle. This is possibly some kind of software bug, according to Chrysler, you think?
What year is this? And what year Jeeps?
The Uconnect system has been in these Chrysler vehicles since late 2013. Any vehicle that uses Uconnect through Sprint is vulnerable to this attack.
So they're saying this is actually happening. But they've obviously found out that they can do this.
Yeah.
Okay, so that means somebody can take your car over?
Once attackers have located the device's internet protocol address, they can deploy previously developed exploits to rewrite the firmware and control the car as if they had physical access. And if you have that car's IP address, you could theoretically attack it from anywhere in the country. The good news for Chrysler drivers, there's already a software patch, if this works anywhere as well, is a Microsoft software patch. I would not go near a Chrysler right now. It has to be installed manually, either by a dealership mechanic or via a USB stick. The vulnerability has inspired government action as a new government automotive security bill being introduced in the Senate.
Wow.
This is part of that Internet of Things you've heard me talk about on Boomer Tech. We've deployed all this stuff with no protection. Hello.
They've got a highway bill that's going through the Senate right now. It's up on...
Makes me want to think about my Jeep.
But yours is...
If you don't have this wireless Uconnect,
but she doesn't have... she doesn't have Sprint service. That's the other thing. But the other thing, too, it says from 2013 on, and yours is like a 12, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
I love this comment here. The Democrats are saying they didn't have very much time to read this bill. And then Chuck Schumer says that, I can't remember a time when I've been asked in all my years in Congress to vote yes ahead of a lot of time on a bill we haven't seen. Well, excuse me, Chuck. Excuse me, Chuck, but have you ever heard of Obamacare? Have you ever even heard of Obamacare? I mean, that I thought was kind of, you know, that had a huge impact. You're talking about a highway funding bill. So, I mean, I love it. Okay. We go on. Some of the things that are happening here in Reading. They're looking at cutting ties. The vote was yesterday to cut ties for RU gets power from a plant in New Mexico. They have voted, like city council has voted to cut ties with a coal-fired plant in New Mexico. So, New Mexico. So here's my question to our city council, because that's all it said. And so I'll have to call the city council or the city manager and ask them this. What cost will go with that discussion? Does it mean is there's little change, no change, or big change? Does this mean is that we're going to have to pay more for electricity? Does it make any difference in it because we weren't getting that much from them? Or is this going to be, it's because, it won't be any, it'll be transparent to you. And then as soon as you hear that, now you really have to start asking questions. Well, what do you mean it's going to be transparent? Transparent means I don't see it on my bill because you're doing something else to my bill, which you've been trying to do. Or what exactly does this mean? The other thing, too, about REU, I just want to ask this question. When I had Barry Tippin sitting right here in front of me, and I said, when you move out to Airport Road, what about all those people? All those people that need to see you. Is there a way for them, if they, the buses run erratically or they only run once one way and once the other way, so it can take, 4 hours. 4 hours to get out and see you and come back, half a day. Are there going to be kiosks downtown that people can go in and ask a question so they don't have to go all the way out there? And I'm not sure what that answer is, but the next time I see him, I'm going to ask him that. This kiosk you said about putting downtown so people wouldn't have to go all the way out there, there's ways of handling this. Were they indeed done, or was this just something that you said just to get me off your back right then? Just wondering. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here, and as soon as we get back, we want to talk a little bit about the flags at half mast. We want to talk about Planned Parenthood. And we'll be at 8 o'clock. We're going to have Jonathan Anderson from the Good News Rescue Mission. I want to talk about the new programs they have concerning homeless, transients, and all that. All of that right here on Free Fire Radio. And this portion of the show was brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, Espresso Joe's, walk next door to the finest walk-in tobacco emporium in Northern California. Their humidor is just simply outstanding. A veteran-owned business. Right there at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Tobacco and Brew.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
Charles here, inviting you to enjoy Mary's new specials. We're cooking up some great new things for you to enjoy. Lemon Shrimp Linguine. It's a fresh take on shrimp scampi with a creamy white wine and lemon sauce with fresh herbs on a bed of linguine. Also, we brought some spice into the shack. Pizza a la sriracha. Chicken with sriracha sauce and ranch, white cheddar, pineapple, green and crispy red onions. It's pizza with a little kick. Wraps are back also. We have the buffalo chicken, chicken Caesar wrap, or the turkey wrap. How about the shrimp bruschetta for an appetizer? Toasted slices, sourdough topped with shrimp and a garlic, lemon, and creamy white wine sauce, then topped with more garlic, parmesan, and parsley. Everything here at Mary's Pizza Shack is made from scratch from my grandmother's recipes. Come on in and enjoy.
Original recipes. Original Shack. Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing suds!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
Thanks for joining Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Good morning. Welcome back to KCNR 1460. Well, we have fun in the morning.
We have lots of fun in the morning.
Bringing you headlines of what's happening and, you know,
things are
opinions.
Happening around town. Yeah.
Things that are happening throughout the world. Opinions.
12 minutes till 8 o'clock
and
here.
And we fumble and laugh and have a great time. Alliance in Heating and Air has brought to you this segment of the show, serving North State for over 20 years with outstanding service to all models and makes. Heating and cooling systems, they're our choice of service-oriented businesses. It's called Alliance with a Z, Heating and Air. Call them at 221-2642. Or check out their website at homecomfort.org.
Yeah, and some people were looking them up the other day. It's A-L-L-I-A-N-Z. Because they kept calling me. And said, I can't find them. Do you see anything that looks like it's close to that? Well, there's an alliance. Bingo. Hey, we got somebody on the phone. Good morning, Mouse.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda. How are you today?
Good morning.
I'm
So what we, you know, I was talking about how the city of Reading decided to cut ourselves off from a coal-fired yep. plant, and I was wondering, because that was all it said, what kind of what kind of fiscal impact this could have on us, the taxpayers, the ratepayers, and the city.
Yeah, I personally firmly believe it's going to be a huge impact, and the reason why is because at the Monday meeting at the Tea Party that Doug LaMalfa attended, Councilmember Cad was there. And he had brought up that RU was going to have this vote, and that the big thing about it that's not being talked about is the fact that the city of Reading owes $26 million on that plan, and it won't be paid off until 2022.
Mm. Well, is part of the deal is that we buy electricity from them, and we're also paying off the plant, right?
Yes, to my knowledge of it. I'm not as knowledgeable about it as the council member is. I would definitely have him come on and really talk about it, because what's going to happen is the city of Reading and the ratepayers are going to continue paying off that debt, but they're not going to be receiving any of the electricity from it. So basically, you're paying for something that you won't be receiving, and that's obviously going to affect your rates. It's going to affect how much you pay.
Well, that's what I'm thinking is, and then you've got to then replace that electricity with something else, which means then you're paying for that. So
exactly.
it's almost
yep.
like you're double paying for something. So that's mm-hmm. see, that's the way it appears. So that's why I need to call Barry Tippin or Kurt Starman, and I'm going to ask them that question: is if you're cutting that off, do we still owe money there? We're not getting electricity from that, or is it they said, okay, we voted to cut ourselves off from that once it's paid off? See, there's a lot left out of the story, so we need to check on that before we just automatically just slam dunk them on this one.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that got mentioned, because I haven't seen it anywhere else. And if the council member hadn't said it on Monday, I wouldn't even have known.
It really
threw me back. Why would you pay for something you're not using?
It was in the paper this morning, but that's all it said was cutting off the our agreements with the New Mexico coal-fired plant. But that was all it said. And that automatically just right there raises red flags when you hear something like that is, what kind of impact is this going to have?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks, Mouse.
All right. You're welcome.
Thanks a lot. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Energetic.
Yeah. Mouse is on the radio here 8 to 9 Sunday mornings.
She's
Jefferson State of Mind.
Oh, it's always fun to. She's infectious.
She is. Her sense of purpose and humor. And she's in there. And people talk about those old white guys. and old white guys and old white girls. Well, there's a lot of young people of all denominations involved in the conservative movement, and there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, now I had somebody say in here
in the chat room
about how the cost of gas has gone up, that the oil companies are making record-breaking profits. I mean, I don't know about that. This is something else that needs to be checked, because the guy that's telling me this, whom has always been usually right, it says they're making $1 a gallon in profits. I can't. Is that $1 a gallon of oil, of crude oil they're making, or is it gasoline? I mean, that's an awful lot of money. And they've never done that before, so I can't see how they could be doing it now. But okay, flags at half-mast now for the murder of the four Marines and a sailor in Chattanooga.
Mm.
Now, and this is after Representative Mac Thornburg of Texas asked for these to be lowered over DC. Why did it have to take so long? What was the purpose of not lowering the flags to half staff? I don't understand that. I don't understand why it wasn't done right away. And by the way, this takes us to the giant flag. People have been asking giant flag, and I was called by the guy that runs this over at the Breakfast Lions Club. He said, we cannot lower the flag unless we get a specific word from the gov, but the government that makes this a federal thing. We cannot lower our flag for deaths in another state. So they have to wait until it's official before they can lower their flag. That's why the giant flag wasn't lowered. Otherwise, they would have done it immediately. So we might see if it's down today.
And why do you think it took so long? Hasn't it been almost a week now?
Yeah.
It was Tuesday. Yeah, it was exactly. It was Thursday that it happened. I remember coming in. It was like, you know, when there's a tragedy that happens, I was in Sacramento, and I dropped my mother back off at home. It's heading back to Redding, and my dad had said, did you hear about the shooting? And we, of course, where we were, no. And so it happened on Thursday. So it's been just about a week, and it's taken that long for the flag to be lowered to staff to half mast.
Okay.
Or half staff.
It's only a mast if it's on a boat.
Mast if it's on a boat.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the phones. Rich.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I was at the council meeting last night, and the whole thing on the coal-fired power plant, although I'm not a big fan of the Mr. Tippin, he gave a pretty lengthy explanation what was that all about. And basically what I got out of it is that the city's on the hook for some bonds.
Okay.
When they got into that agreement back in, I think it was 1982. So because of state and federal law, that's basically why we're getting out of that power plant. And I'm sure you'll have them on. They'll give you more in-depth explanation. But it's pretty much out of the city of Redding's hand because of the laws that EPA and California state laws have been passed. The city really doesn't have a choice. I don't like it.
Okay.
We're going to have to pay $26 million to get nothing for it. But
wow,
it is what it is.
Okay, so you're saying then is that when Tippin got up and he explained it, is that this is beyond, this is out of the hands of Redding. They have, but you know, they have to vote on it because of the new EPA regulations that this plant can't be run under those regulations. So what we have to divest ourselves of them.
Right, it's I mean, it's obviously mine was a pretty simple explanation because there's a lot of technical stuff, but what it gets down to, it's the government. State of California and the federal government. That's what's you know, made this thing happen.
Okay.
I got one question for you, too.
Okay.
I want you guys to succeed. So have you guys ever thought about either boosting your AM signal or simulcasting on FM? And
well,
I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks,
okay. Buddy. Well, you know what, Rich? Thanks a lot. You know, we would if we could find an FM station that wants to do that. We are a you know, solely owned corporation here, and we don't have the pockets that perhaps New York and other places have. So what we can do is look at finding another location that we can build a higher tower and push our power out. Which we can do. We've got our transmitters can do that. We've got the capability of all the technical side of it. We just need to find a place that we can put a and the $160,000 or $200,000 it'll cost to do that.
And bear in mind that this is California, where you cannot stick a shovel in the ground without filing an EPA report.
And the so is it possible? Yeah, it is possible to do that. And maybe we need to do a GoFundMe. And GoFundMe, you know, and we will raise our tower of, you know, 50 feet and put it in a new spot and go up to 1,000 watts and reach out there for you.
But in response to the other question, you know, just to say, oh, I'm going to open an FM station. FM licenses, radio licenses are like liquor licenses, if not even more so. They are very strictly handed out and controlled, and there's big money involved in licenses.
We were in a conversation with a FM station that would really punch our signal out, and that's not over yet. So we'll see what happens here this year. But no, we understand this, and what we do know is that sometimes it doesn't reach everywhere, Rich. Is that it reaches a lot of areas. It reaches out past Shasta Lake. It reaches out onto Lake Shasta. We get it down into Red Bluff as we're heading that way. And unfortunately, because it's AM and the way it rolls across the ground, some places it doesn't. But in a lot of places it does. So it does reach this whole area in here. And 150,000 people, you know, for our area here, plus the people up and down the corridor.
And, of course, web streaming is going to become more ubiquitous, and as cell tower coverage deepens.
It does. And not only that, that is, you know, of course, looking at it as the future is streaming your shows. But we're putting it out over the air. And so you could be sitting running with your iPod or your phone and be listening to the show as you're trotting down the road, too. Anyway, good questions though, and thanks a lot for that. Thanks a lot for the statement about the why we're closing a coal plant. Unfortunately, we're still paying off that $26 million, which is true, and we're not getting electricity back because of California and federal rules. Isn't that interesting? We'll be right back after the news with Jonathan Anderson, a Good News Rescue Mission. It's 8 o'clock here on the 22nd of July, Wednesday.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Firefighters are now letting a large warehouse fire in North Brunswick, New Jersey, burn itself out. The blaze broke out early today in the rear of the complex. It is used by several businesses. The smoke so thick it can be seen on weather satellites from space. Armed citizens are starting to show up in military recruiting centers around the country to protect the personnel inside who are not allowed to arm themselves. In Columbus, Ohio, Jonathan Conley said it's the least he could do.
They serve and protect us. They gave their lives, and many men and women have given their lives for us. It's no different for us or them.
Meanwhile, such personnel could be allowed to arm themselves soon. Congress moving toward a possible vote that would allow military personnel to carry weapons at U.S. installations.
The move follows last week's fatal shootings of four Marines and a sailor at a recruiting center in Chattanooga. House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy says a provision allowing members of the military to carry weapons could be included in a House Senate conference report reconciling differences in the National Defense Authorization Act.
That's SRN's Wally Hines reporting. Forecasters expect a heat wave to continue in Alabama today, a heat advisory across most of the state. In Philadelphia, tennis instructor Sarah Sadler said it's too hot to practice.
Yesterday we decided not to play like the whole day. We ended a little bit early.
Americans bought homes in June at the fastest rate in more than 8 years. Here's SRN's Jeremy House.
The National Association of Realtors says existing home sales increased 3.2% last month to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of nearly 5.5 million. Sales have climbed 9.6% in the past 12 months, while the number of listings has gone up just 0.4%. Steady job gains since 2014 and relatively low mortgage rates have generated increased demand. However, the market has only a 5-month supply of homes compared to an average 6 months in a healthy market.
That's SRN's Jeremy House, and this is SRN News.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had numerous credit cards, and I was struggling with paying them off, so I made the call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
The people at Trinity are very friendly. They will do whatever you need them to do in order for you to feel better about being in a very difficult place.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
The state of Texas has put out dash cam video.
Out of the car.
Why am I being apprehended?
Of the arrest of an Illinois woman who was later found dead in her jail cell.
So you threatening to drag me out of my own car?
Get out of the car!
The investigation continues into the death of the woman who was found hanging in her jail cell 3 days later. It has been ruled a suicide by hanging. A new survey from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention suggests that more than one in five sexually active teenage girls use the morning after pill. 10 years ago, that number was one in 12 who did so. There had been restrictions on the purchase of the pill at that time. Now all teens are allowed to buy it without getting a prescription first. The penalty phase begins today in the trial of Colorado movie theater shooter James Holmes. He was convicted earlier this month of killing 12 people and wounding 70 others. Jurors rejected Holmes' claim that he was legally insane at the time. This is SRN News. Alzheimer's disease, it hits women harder than men, apparently, according to a new report. Here's SRN's Rich Thomas.
University of California, San Francisco researchers report older women with mild memory impairment worsened about twice as fast as men. The research, part of an effort to unravel why women are especially hard hit by Alzheimer's. At age 65, seemingly healthy women have about a 1 in 6 chance of developing Alzheimer's during the rest of their lives, compared with a 1 in 11 chance for men.
That's Rich Thomason reporting. The survivor of a Mississippi car crash in which a vocal black supporter of the Confederate flag was killed says the driver lost control of the vehicle as it was being pursued by a car with several young black men in it. Anthony Hervey and another black Confederate supporter had just left a Sunday event to support a Confederate monument in Birmingham, Alabama, when they were chased. More details at srnnews.com.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. Good morning. It's the 22nd of July. It's Wednesday. It's 8:06 in the morning. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. I understand we may have a couple of problems with our little streaming, but we've got called the webmaster on this. It's streaming, but you may have to start it over again for some reason. We'll find out. Anyway.
Currently 73 degrees in the downtown studios. Looks like we're going to have a sunny day with temperatures reaching around 94, mostly clear tonight with 63. Thursday calls for 89, Friday calls for 93, Saturday 95, and of course Sunday at 97. Clear forecast ahead of us with a clear evening. The weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Cool to be Shasta Gas customer. They give senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
That's right.
And good morning. We have a great morning ahead of us. With we're trying to get everything organized here with our headphones and our controls.
Hey, we're here with Jonathan Anderson.
Yep.
Of the Good News Rescue Mission. And his running mate?
Ken White.
Ken White.
Good morning, Ken.
Ken, move that over there a little bit in front of you. There,
is this a little better?
Yeah. All right. How are you guys?
Got a love on the mic here a little bit.
Yeah, love on the mic. Yeah.
You've got to love the mic. Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing well. Doing very well.
You know, Jonathan, we wanted to have you on. There's been a lot of things happening in the world of the homeless, the transients, the camps, and we're starting to see, you know, there's fires going on out there, which has been a problem. But a lot of things have happened in the way that the Good News Rescue Mission is I guess accomplishing your mission. And
sure.
and there's a lot of, I think, mistaken ideas about what's happening. And I know that there's a lot of flack on both sides. And so somehow you've managed to get in the middle of all that. And which means you're probably doing the right thing if you got both groups that got some questions about it.
Yeah.
Can you just give just hello and good morning? Thanks for being here with us.
Yeah. Absolutely. So you know what we good point there. We truly are in the middle, and you know I personally am encouraged because I see the dialogue in the community is starting to turn around, is starting to shift to a point where people are looking at the truth of what's really going on behind the homelessness, the poverty, as opposed to rumors and false perceptions. And you know what? Whether we agree or disagree, that's fine, but let it be based on truth, not based on rumors and not based on false perceptions. Because once it's based on truth, we actually get somewhere as a community and we find resolve, we find solution. And so I'm encouraged because I do see the dialogue overall in the community switching to truth-based dialogue.
Yeah, there's been always, you know, so many things like, you know, I was teasing and I said, yeah, so tell us how that busting in those homeless from Philadelphia is working out for you. And you know what, that's, you know, where you see that is so ridiculous, but yet you still hear this.
You still hear
that there are people being brought in here by the Good News Rescue Mission or to the Good News Rescue Mission.
I hear it every day.
Does that happen?
No, that absolutely does not happen.
Are you getting people from a concentrated effort by other governments, other cities to send people to you?
We don't, not even close. You know, you'll obviously find people from traveling I-5 corridor or whatever it may be. You're always going to find people. Free country, we travel as we please. So you're going to find that. But as for the notion that people are sending others to us, we have never seen that. We've never found that to be true.
Well, where do people, like right now, because you ask who they are, you ask for identification.
We do, yeah. Well, now here's what's tricky, and you really have to know this. So with social services, someone only has to be here for 15 days to get California ID. And so once they're here for 15 days, they're now a resident of California if they're homeless. Now, if you're not homeless, it's going to take you longer to claim residency. But with social services, if you're homeless, it's 15 days. And you have your California ID, you have all that.
How do you prove your...
So you can live in a car somewhere and just bounce around from parking lot to parking lot for 15 days.
You can live in a homeless encampment, and 15 days later, you know, you're going to be... And that's at taking it at their word. So they could just tell you they were here for 15 days, and they arrived an hour ago.
Okay, so there's no way of proving it.
There's really not.
And they know the rules.
They absolutely know those rules.
And I was told is that, you know, they've seen people at the mental health facility because, hey, you know, if you do this, you can go over to the county public health and mental health and you get this.
Yeah,
I mean, I've heard of those things. I mean, they ask them a question, because there I think they have a little more stringent.
Yeah.
You know, okay, so how long have you been here? I've been here for 3 weeks. I've been here for 3 months. And prove it. Well, prove I didn't kind of stuff.
So. Yeah, there's, you know, and honestly, in our county, our social service group, they are fantastic. Our county does an incredible job at what they're doing out in encampments and public health, our health and human service agency. They all do a tremendous job. But, you know, statewide, this is a huge problem statewide that we deal with.
You know what? You almost kind of wish, well, maybe they weren't doing such a good job. Okay, so somebody comes in after 15 days, they show up, they get who gives them the ID?
So, actually, with one of the assembly bills that had passed, so for 2015, a homeless person can take an affidavit and they can go to DMV and they have to get a free ID from DMV now.
Hey, what? Say that again? Could you repeat that,
we
please?
Had an assembly bill that was passed. So now in 2015, if you're homeless, you can go to DMV and the state has to issue an ID for free.
You don't have to show any ID. You don't have to show any proof or anything. So
you have an affidavit. So your affidavit can come from a social worker. It can come from someone in that public sector stating that, yeah, this is a homeless person, and now you...
A lot of illegals get that, I would imagine.
I'm not sure on that end.
It's a way of getting an ID.
Yeah.
But maybe there's another bill that covers that.
You can, I don't even know on the if there's a bill on that end as well. But I for the homeless specific bills, absolutely.
Okay, so you can come in. I come into Good News Rescue Mission. Hey, I got in here an hour ago, and I said, okay, I've been here 15 days, and then I can start going through the process of through the county, right?
Yeah, theoretically, anybody could theoretically. I'll tell you though the truth of. How many people actually do that? We don't find very many people who actually do that or take advantage of the system in that manner.
All right. Well, that's good. We're going to need to take a break here. Elements Lounge, first Thursday of every month, August 6th, this case. We're all going to be out there from 7 to 9 listening to Lady Bot.
Celebrating your birthday, too.
Celebrating my birthday out at Wind River. There you go. I can't think of a better place to do that. And Wind River Resort and Casino, non-smoking there at Elements Lounge, and it's got a great, great, great menu, Romance on the River, Elements Lounge, but you're going to need reservations there, 243-3377. Imagine a steak and lobster, $21.95.
And Paul Senn will be my special guest. He's a wonderful trumpet here, and Pat Karch on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on stand-up bass, Bobby Veramanti's on drums. So come by and see Lady Bot and the Bluebirds on August 6th, 243-3377. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. KCNR 1460.
Here and it's time to enjoy the great outdoors. Whether you're headed to the lake, Bernie Falls, going fishing, or throwing a barbecue, Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop for summer fun. Stop by the meat department for the best prices around and try our own country sausage made in-store. Mighty Fine has over 1,000 drinks to choose from, and we barbecue every Friday all summer long. So take up a tri-tip, rack of ribs, barbecue chicken, or a Polish dog. Stop by the deli for fried chicken or a sandwich made just the way you like it. We are a locally owned and operated family company at 299 and Deschutes in Bella Vista. Mighty Fine Foods, your one-stop shop on the way to the lake.
A true country star and entertainer, Tracy Lawrence, live in concert. Are you ready for this country, fans? Friday, August 14th at 7:30 inside the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Come see country artist Tracy Lawrence. He's one of the most recognizable voices in country music with songs such as
I'm Marching On, Those Alibis and Lying Eyes. If you could paint me a Birmingham.
Tickets for this remarkable show start at just $20. Tracy's music continues to evolve and engage all generations of country music fans. Do not miss your chance to see Tracy Lawrence live in concert in the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center Friday, August 14th at 7:30 p.m.
Daddy's drinking beer, listening to the radio. Hank Williams sings for Elijah.
For tickets or to reserve a room in our luxurious hotel, call 1-800-280-UWIN or log on to windriver.com. Must be 21 to attend. Country music is better at the river.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay-neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us, East Side Road off of 273.
What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM?
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream sound bites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Orchard Nutrition Center's creed is their promise, to offer only the highest quality products that follow strict manufacturing guidelines, because you deserve to live life to the fullest. Since 1982, Orchard Nutrition has always believed that we are all in it together, because the food you eat is a lot more than just a daily activity. The things you consume affect every aspect of your life. Orchard Nutrition Center hosts many exciting educational events throughout the year, including seminars each month featuring experts who present the latest information on a variety of health and nutritional topics. The main focus is on helping you understand how your body works and how to live healthy. These seminars are a great way to learn interesting information in person, and there's always an opportunity to ask questions and really get clarification from the experts. Bring your friends and family. Reservations are not required, but seating is limited. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook for seminar schedules, speakers, and topics. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly, local Whole Foods store.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Out to the man on the street. Sir, can you help?
Good morning. Welcome back. 8:18 in the morning here on KCNR. It's the 22nd of July. Currently 75 degrees in the downtown studios. We're going to have a sunny day with temperatures around 94. Mostly clear tonight with temperatures around 63. And a beautiful week, all under the triple digit figures up until Sunday. Monday we start to get a little hotter, but, you know, we'll just enjoy the week as it is. Weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Give him a call, 365-3793, a veteran-owned business right here in town. And this portion of the show brought to you by Holiday Harbor. You know what? Holiday Harbor. Staycation. Go on up there. They've got a 25% off special on select models during the month of July. A lot of water still up there in Lake Shasta. And this is what we like to do. Get a party boat. And you get out, and you can get a personal watercraft, one of those little water jet skis. And we go out there, and we park the boat. And hop in the water, and then when we're not hopping in the water, we hop on the jet ski, ride around for a while. Linda scares me until I fall off, and then
I scream like a little girl.
I scream like a little girl, and then I lay in the water, in my life vest for a while. And then she comes back and she picks me up again. And I start to get back on. And she gooses it again and throws me 12 feet in the air. And then she makes that turn and comes back and, you know, like she's going to run me down, and she doesn't. And then she tows me back because I'm unconscious at that point, and takes me back and drops me off next to the shore. Okay, it may be not exactly that, but you can have a great time. I don't know how we got into that. You can have a great time at Holiday Harbor just by doing that, just by taking out a party boat, and it's just outstanding. And it's cool. Get in the water out there and enjoy yourself. Stay here, staycation, and it saves you a lot of money, plus with that 25% off. Give them a call, 238-2383.
One of the most beautiful spots in the world we have right here in Shasta County. Yes, and we are talking about Shasta County. We're talking about a lot of things that affect our community, and we're very, very happy to have our guests this morning that give us a little bit more of an insight of some situations that we're seeing with our population of people that I want to say with a lot more. It feels like we're seeing, especially down on 273 downtown area, we're seeing a lot of homeless people pushing their carts, pushing their strollers that don't have babies in them. at the break, we were talking about something I thought was very interesting about that there it seems to be a culture that is it's kind of cool or hip. It seems to have this effect on a lot of us. Like, when did it get to be that it was okay to be homeless? And now we were talking prior to that about different Jonathan is with us from Good News Rescue Mission. We were talking earlier about that, about how there's been bills that have been passed in order to speed the
acquisition
of getting, you know, to become a California citizen and get into the system. Within the programs. So, Jonathan, we were talking about that. You said at the break, I can tell you exactly when it started to become cool, or
yeah,
it became
yeah.
like this image to be. It's cool
yeah.
to be homeless.
Yeah, you can. You know, this is from my perception of watching this and monitoring it. But you know, so in 2007, we had this recession begin to hit our nation. What happened is because so many people are losing jobs, the welfare system, people originally could, you know, if you lose a job, you can get food stamps and stuff like that. There was about a 3-month expiration date on that. In 2007, the federal government took the expiration dates off of that. So now a person from 2007 could be on that system all the way up until this present day.
Mm.
And so you could be living off of government aid, not having to look for work, all the way up to this present day. So when you look at it, if you look at SSI and your food stamps and all these things that people could get on, you know, there's some people who can make roughly $1,600 a month just by living in an encampment since 2007 up to this day, living completely off the government. And so if you look at where did it become cool, well, I don't know that people who live in that environment would say it's cool, but they are taken care of by our government because of so much aid and so much free assistance that's there, which enables them in a lot of respects to stay in that lifestyle and stay in that environment. It's a really good program. Our social services and our aid is really good for those who need that help.
Right.
But there's a lot who will take advantage of that. And so now we're starting to see a younger generation of people who are, it's almost breeding a culture of poverty because they realize, I don't have to go look for work. I can just get these aids from the government, and now I can live a pretty comfortable lifestyle by squatting, living in other people's homes, couch surfing, camping, whatever it may be. So I don't know, I wouldn't use the word cool, but that's where you can pinpoint where it's a lack of responsibility on a lot of people's parts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a trend that we have really seen grown in a lot of people. On our end, and here in October, California will be cutting close to 1 million food stamps come October. And so what we're trying to get out to people right now is, listen, at the Good News Rescue Mission, we provide people with every service you need to be able to break out of that cycle of poverty and get back into a tax-based economy and start making an income, but also giving back to your community. And so we provide the job readiness, we provide the computer literacy, we provide the business professionalism. So if food stamps are being cut, we have the food for you, but we also have the tools necessary to help you break out of that poverty and get into mainstream society. So we don't necessarily see cutting those stamps as a negative thing. We see that more as a positive, to help encourage people and incentivize them to get back on their feet. And plus,
incentivize is the big word. How do you give people incentive when they maybe grew up with around poverty? It was okay to couch surf. You have no ambition. Now, how do you get somebody to understand incentive to ambition? I mean, there's not a bad word.
No, it's a tremendous word. We need that in our lives, and so. You know, that's the tough part. How do you incentivize people, especially when you could potentially make more money from the government than working a part-time minimum wage job? How do you incentivize people against that? And so that's why at the mission, what we're really trying to do is it's character redevelopment. We're redefining the character of the person to show them why that's powerful and to show them that, yeah, hey, maybe you might make less starting out, but here's what we're going to do to help you advance through a career, climb that ladder, and be satisfied in life, be able to set up retirements, be able to set up things like that. And it's working right now. Last year, we had about one person a week on average getting a job. Right now, we have three people a week on average who are gaining employment through the mission.
Now, you know, this is one of the things that when you start in this type of work, that it's not just taking care of people. I mean, you gave out 75,000 safe nights of lodging, 185,000 total meals provided, really it's closer to 186, 71,000 articles of clothing, almost 5,000 academic center hours. So what you're doing then is trying to push out the idea is that you don't need just to keep taking.
Absolutely.
So I mean, in that what you're trying to bring to the people is it's not just taking; it's getting yourself started and being able to give back.
Yeah.
What kind of feedback are you getting on that?
There's really three. I mean, you could break it into any number of categories, but if to make it simple, there's really three types of populations that the mission serves. There's those people that are in need because the economy, they were on the margins, maybe they were the working poor, and when the economy tanked, and like Jonathan said in 2007, they were kind of left without a safety net. And so those folks have been coming to us through the years and getting help, and some of them getting back on their feet as jobs become available and that sort of thing. Then there's the crowd that can't really help themselves, and those are the folks we don't want to forget. Those are the folks that maybe suffer from mental illness, maybe you're disabled or whatever the case might be. They're really not able to, without assistance, function in society and become self-sustaining. And then there's those there's that crowd that have really kind of created the controversy in our community, and those are the people that just want to kind of leech the system. And our goal is to serve each of those populations, but in different ways. And the key ways that we serve that last population is that we try and, as Jonathan said, redevelop that character. What's interesting in the last year, just in our emergency shelter, not including any of the other programs, not including the New Life Recovery Program, not including the Academic Center, not including our clothing giveaways or anything, we served over 2,200 people in just our shelter last year. If you think about that in terms of our total population in Shasta County, that's a huge number that utilized our shelter at one time or another in the last year. So again, our case management teams, and intake teams are hard at work trying to assess each one of those individuals as they come through that shelter and figure out which population group they're in, and then try and line them up and point them in the direction that they need to go. And I love Jonathan's, statement about character redevelopment, because the spiritual aspect of what we do is really the cornerstone of why what we do is successful.
You know, we have a comment here that, and this, it says, seems to be an expanding generation of people that do not embrace the old adage that things need to be earned. Either they lack pride or they act direction there. They lack this new generation of adults feel like they should.
They're entitled. You owe me.
That we should give and give, but they lack the maturity to embrace that nothing is for free.
Mm-hmm.
That you're running into. And I think this is what you just said, and it was well captured there, Jarhead.
What's the term that you use when you, when you have to serve your country in some way once you graduate high school? What's that called?
Public service, you mean?
Public service. I mean, don't you think that if that was a law, I mean, we're nothing is being upheld, but a lot of things aren't being upheld, but would you think that if we had to, it was mandatory to have public service after high school, or at a certain age, if you turned 18, that everybody that lived that was a U.S. citizen had to do public service for 2 years, that would, I think, help change the culture, to shape the culture that you give, you can't just take, you have to give to society. You have to work on the road. You have to work on the bridge. You have to clean the waters. You have to clean the buildings. You have to maintain the roads. You have to do something.
Be in the military, or not be in the military, but you know, kind of throw skin in the game. Is this, what kind of significant impact would have that?
We are seeing an impact in that already. I love the comment that they just made that you read because, there is such a sense of entitlement. You owe me. Such a huge sense of entitlement through a lot of people. Not everybody, but the majority that we see. And so what we're doing is we're trying to break that entitlement mentality and replace that with the mentality of giving back. When you're homeless, what do you have to offer somebody else? When you live on the streets, what do you really have that you can offer someone who's sheltered? Right? You don't have much. However, at the mission, we're trying to redefine that person, redevelop that character, and say, no, here's what you have to offer. You know, maybe there's trash over here at one of our neighbor's place. You have an able body. Let's go over and let's clean that up for them. We won't even tell them. We'll bless them in that fact. Maybe there's weeds growing in this person's yard. Let's go weedy for them. So what we do is we set up initiatives, opportunities for our guests, our homeless guests, to be able to give back to our community through public service, through all kind of different things. You know,
so they get that. So they get the feeling of giving back. So it's mm-hmm. again, and this also builds up self identity and self respect.
Right, and it's kind of this quid pro quo. So some of our people, Rick Bassetti called me up and said, hey, you know, do you have anybody who would want to go out and catch our fly balls and stuff and keep kids from running into the streets and keep them safe? You know, every weekend our homeless guests go down there and they help out. And in return, you know, Rick will bless them and hey, go get food from the snack shack and things like that.
Well, you see them out there, they've got their
little vests.
Yeah.
And they're proud because they have like
absolutely.
A purpose.
But they're also watching your cars too. And it gives us feeling of security. And the one guy said, because we have KCNR in the back of the truck. We won't try and catch the ball if it hits here. I'm like, well, thanks a lot, buddy. We got to take a break. Got to take a break. I know who this guy is. So. Yeah. Oh, yeah? Okay. Hey, we'll take a break. Carl and DeBot. We're here with Jonathan Anderson and Kevin White of Good News Rescue Mission. And we're talking about, what's going on with the new things at the Rescue Mission. And this was really interesting, to pinpoint the day that it became okay to be homeless. And what we've done in the era, what we've done not to fix that. Now, I want to come back and talk about the plans for little houses, homeless villages, daycare centers, misting stations, and porta potties everywhere. We'll be right back.
Let's go down to the Sunset Grill and watch the working girls go by. The basket people walk around and mumble, stare out at the Auburn sky.
Hi, this is Jeff Williams, commercial loan officer at Plumas Bank here in Reading. Plumas Bank is proud to sponsor the Colt 45s this season. Plumas Bank has been serving the financial needs of Northeastern California for 34 years. Our top priority is helping local businesses succeed. We're located at the corner of Cypress and Civic Center Drive, across from City Hall and just down the street from the ball field. Call us today at 246-2364. Experience the Plumas Bank difference. More convenience, more value, more opportunity.
Plumas Bank, member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hey, it's Ernie and Dave with a major announcement.
Swap and Sell has moved.
Entertainment for the whole family.
Right. Swap and Sell has moved to 8 to 9 every Saturday morning right here on KCNR.
We talk about yard sales, garage sales, or if you're having a non-commercial fundraiser, join us 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every Saturday.
We're here. That's Swap and Sell with Ernie and Dave right here on KCNR 1460 AM radio.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Reading Yellow Cab and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Reading Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Reading Yellow Cab and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Take these broken wings.
Good morning. Welcome back to KCNR, 1460. Broken wings. That's interesting.
Good choice.
Well, we're here to, we have two heroes in our land with us this morning. To help the mend those broken wings, get people back into the world of feeling
self-worth.
Yeah, self-worth and being part of a community, being part of a structure in a community is good.
And being able to give back. So, this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, better known business right off Athens Avenue. Man's Last Stronghold, best haircuts in town, discounts for seniors and veterans. Great place. The Cheers of Barbershops. Jonathan goes there.
Where I go.
Yeah, Ken. You probably go to some girly place. Huh?
Yeah, you don't want to know where I go. Yeah.
Probably go to, la-di-da.
I've only got two hairs to cut, so it's, you know.
Yeah. Well, they charge just the same amount. They call that a hunting license. They have to find it first. Nah, you got it.
They make more
Come
money
on.
charging by the hair now. So,
Cypress Square Barbershop. Okay, we're here with Jonathan Anderson and Ken White. Good News Rescue Mission. Now, Jonathan, on the break, there's something really big happening here that is literally going to take all of the social services in this county of Shasta and unite you all with a real plan.
Absolutely.
To talk about this.
So, just to clarify, this, you know, we have our Continuum of Care Council. We have about 50 social service agencies here. And they all represent that continuum of care, and we work together. We work in partnership, so we are united. for the past 6 years, you know, Jessica Delaney has been doing a fantastic job of getting HUD funding and getting funding into our community and setting initiatives, all this. You know, over the past 6 months, maybe a little longer. Yeah, longer, almost a year. Okay, so over almost a year now, Chief Paletti and I have been really working hand in hand, coming up with, dialogue and setting up initiatives between each other, brainstorming ideas and getting some plans that we can work on as well. Right now, the county and the city have hired a consultant to come through, do a blueprint for public safety. That consulting group, Matrix, has also looked at the social services within Shasta County, and they're incorporating the social service aspect into that as well. So we've been meeting with them. Kristen Schrader has also hired a consultant to come through and look specifically at the social service agencies, at our continuum of care, find out what we're doing, if we're doing it well, if we can improve. And we're combining both of these recommendations from both of the consultants, taking that recommendation and enhancing a strategic plan for all of our social service agencies, so we're all on the same page and we're moving in the same direction, incorporating that with the federal mandated strategic plans as well. So we have community-specific plans that also coincide with the federal mandated plans, and as we do that, I truly believe that we will become a model county for the rest of our nation. Absolutely believe this. And so we have already seen over the past 6 years the work that Jessica's done, the work that the social services have done. Without that continuum of care, I guarantee we would have thousands of more people living unsheltered on the streets of Shasta County. We've done a tremendous job, especially compared to other counties. Now, with these consulting groups and with the recommendations, with everybody, all of us working in partnership, working together with a coordinated plan, we're going to see an incredible effect coming out here. And these should be released here between August and September, both of these plans. So that's something for the community to be anxious about and look forward to.
So when you say this new plan, does this mean something to so that everybody's organized, that people can't just use the system as a lot of people have done?
Sure. It's identifying gaps. It's identifying loopholes. It's identifying where the breakdowns are in the current services. We do a good job now, but we can do a much better job. We can be much more efficient. So it's identifying those and putting together the recommendations. There might be recommendations for funding from the city, recommendations for funding from the county. We'll see how that goes. But really, it gives a blueprint for all of the agencies to partner together and say, okay, here's where point A is. People come into the Good News Rescue Commission, that's the first stop. Here's the case management line all the way down the road, and here's the last stop when they're actually housed and sustaining in employment. And the plan from point A all the way to point B. And that's going to be an incredible plan. So we're excited about it.
Well, I can't wait to see this when it comes out. If it truly, you know, if it can literally empty, what you're trying to do is empty the camps. Totally,
well,
right?
Not only, you know, the camps are a small portion. The large portion are the people who are living paycheck to paycheck in the hotels and things like this. I mean, there are thousands in that respect. There's only maybe 300 or so from the encampment side.
And that's right. And you said, you know, earlier during the break that, you know, you reduced that number even.
Absolutely.
By, I think, 50%.
Almost
50%
over
off the camps.
Over a few years, yeah.
Unfortunately, when they move them out of the camps, you see them downtown, which seems like there's more. Well, the way you do this is through jobs, right?
Yes, but it's getting people ready for that, because right now, majority of the people aren't ready for employment.
And I understand that, but there's got to be employment.
I will tell you this, Carl, employment is here in this county. People will say it's not. I get at least 40 jobs a week that come across my desk. I have employers coming to me and say, we don't have enough people applying for jobs. Right now,
what kind of jobs are these?
So some are career jobs. We have some people getting absolute incredible jobs that full benefits, retirement, the vacation packages, everything in that sense. But then you have a lot of entry-level jobs. I won't name this person in particular, but I had a local business owner.
I'm just looking for examples.
Yeah, I got a local business owner who came to me last week and said, hey, I have this is incredible. I have positions available, lots of positions. I can maybe do 20 people a month. And he said, how about I use your people that you're training, I hire from you guys selectively as this pool, and when your people mess up, instead of giving them a write-up and discipline them that way, you send your job coaches over, and we will help them work through their deficiencies, work through their failures.
It's a private business.
Yeah.
Love
it.
It
is.
I love it.
We're breeding a culture.
I'm not going to ask you who it is, but it sounds pretty.
Maybe. At some point, I might be able to say that. I haven't asked them.
Well, I hope so, because
I think I have a feeling of who it is. But
really?
Yeah. But anyway, so that is called the beautiful part of the give and take,
yes.
Giving into community, getting out of, you know, just, you know, I think that made my day.
You know
that
what?
Made my day.
And
it's a beautiful way of making healing.
Absolutely.
And here I was being negative about that. And when I said, well, where are the jobs going to be? Because, frankly, I believe jobs can solve 99% of everything that goes on in this place, domestic violence, drug problems, all this stuff. With if you have
self worth,
if you've got people that are working, there is that self worth, and then they don't go home and they beat up on each other, or they don't just go right to drugs because it's so easy. They've got something to live for.
Yeah.
So when I hear something like this, you know, it's negative when I say, well, where are they going to find the jobs? There are jobs out there.
There are
people. There are employers out there begging for people to come out and work. What we have to do is get the people to the point where they can take a job.
Yep.
And this not necessarily mean they're Good News Rescue Mission. These could be kids sitting on the couch, too. We've got to get them to that point where they can actually take a job and thrive.
And then it boils down to, once you have that job, it boils down to how we treat each other as a community and as humanity. How we treat each other. So if you can have a job, but if you have an employer who all they ever do is just they just downplay you and they are completely negative to you, you're going to go home and you're going to feel like a failure. But if as a community we can lift and build each other up while holding each other accountable for our negative actions, you're going to see a tremendous turnaround in the morale of people in general. And I think the whole community.
All right, we're going to take a break on that. Carl and DeBott, KCNR 1460, Jonathan Anderson, Kim White of the Good News Rescue Mission. I mean, this is kind of like maybe a little epiphany for everybody here to hear that the things that, you know, that the Good News Rescue Mission just doesn't provide meals and clothes to a bunch of losers. That's not the idea.
And we're training them.
We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Luke Verhoog, and I graduated from Redding Christian High School last year, and then received an academic scholarship to attend a large university in Texas. People thought Texas would be a culture shock for a California kid like me, but Redding Christian Schools prepared me well. Redding Christian follows educational standards required by the state, but what is unique about Redding Christian is that as a private Christian school, they have the freedom to teach kids how important it is to think for themselves. You must learn all sides of an issue, because that is the only way to find the truth and develop your own belief system. And a solid belief system gives you purpose in life. And believe me, in Texas, you are expected to stand strong in your beliefs and know your purpose. Speaking of purpose, that's something else I learned in high school. God wants me to encourage and uplift others, and I'm pretty sure He wants that to be your purpose too. So if you want to encourage and uplift others, I ask you to support Christian education by donating to Redding Christian School to help a local family with their tuition payments. Go to their website at readingchristianschool.com, click the donate button to donate online, or simply call them at 547-5600.
The Redding Chapter of Gun Owners of California presents the 6th Annual Fundraising Banquet and Auction, July 25th at the Holiday Inn. Gun Owners of California is the most effective, toughest fighting pro-gun organization in the state of California. So come by and get your tickets now. For ticket information, contact Jones's Fort at 222-3223. Or Gun Owners of California, area code 916-984-1400. Help support Gun Owners of California.
Some things in life you can just rely on. like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Pacific Medical Prosthetics and Orthotics is proud to support Colt 45's baseball. We are your local choice for quality prosthetics and custom orthotics. With all the latest technologies available, come see what you have been missing with a no-obligation consultation. Call 229-0351 to schedule an appointment today. We are conveniently located at 1760 Gold Street, Suite 400 in downtown Reading. You deserve the best. Call today, 229-0351.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate.
Brought to you by Trinity Pest Control, Giles Insurance, and Summit Funding.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. It is Wednesday, the 22nd of July. It is 10 minutes till 9, 75 degrees out there, going up into 97 today. 95 to 97. Today, the weather's always brought to you by a veteran-owned business, Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call, 365-3793. Reading Police Chief Rob Pletty just walked in and sat down.
I just came by to say hi, and I got thrown a chair. Said,
well, you got a gun. You know, the rest of us kind of like getting back. Of course, if we counted all the guns in this room, you may be outgunned there, partner. So, anyway, hey, we're here, of course, with the Good News Rescue Mission, Jonathan Andrews and Ken White. You know what? We're at this point, and this plan, which that Jonathan and Ken have been talking about, it's a fantastic plan. I mean, and it sounds like it's something that can come all together. It can solve a lot of the problems we have out in town. It can solve a lot of problems with the illegal camps, which is what they are. Mm-hmm. But I think that the crux of it, though, the nexus of this whole thing, is housing. What about the housing side of this? Because you can only take so many, and you can only put so many in.
Yeah.
You know, I realize there's got to be affordable housing for low-income people. That you can, and low-income families, not just, you know, they got this plan of putting 40 of these little houses out someplace just for two people. Unless they clean up these hotels, as Chief Rob Pletty will tell you, that they're pieces of, you know, I've only said it 100 times. I didn't call you Bob. But if you go into these hotels, I mean, they are just, I mean, they're roach, you know, coaches mm-hmm. there mm-hmm. that, you know, that you have to clean up. And even putting people there, I'm sure you have a problem. Is it the housing? Is that going to be the hard part of this to solve? Or do you think this is going to fall in?
You know, from my perspective, the hard part of it, getting people into services, getting people equipped, that's, you know, that's difficult. But it's, in retrospect, to the housing issue, yeah, the affordable housing, where you're going to be housed, is it taxpayer housing? Is it housing that's built off of grants? What does that housing look like? And the case management up to the housing and the case management during and after the housing is the key portion. The case management is what absolutely has to be there. Because you can house people, but what happens if you need to evict a person? You know, it's the case management that's going to keep them from becoming that evicted person. It's the case management that's going to help them get into the housing, and it's going to help them sustain after the housing. Right now, our county is working on initiatives for housing. We have a great housing director, Richard Coons, in our county here, who has great vision, great plans. So, you know, I'm encouraged on that. I know with the strategic plan coming out, we're going to see a lot of effort there, but the case management is going to be key. Yeah. And Chief, he might back me on that one as well.
Well, I mean, it's just like, you know, the success we're having with the Day Reporting Center, somebody going from a life of crime to, you know, a normal life. Yeah. The case management and the daily contact, those things are extremely, extremely important from a rehabilitation standpoint on a criminal side, but also, you know, I believe on the homeless side, because they need more consistent guidance. And, you know, we, Jonathan and I started talking over a year ago, but we've been working very intently on this, on what our concept was of how we could better coordinate this effort. And then, you know, Kristen's group stepped up, and then there was the Blueprint for Public Safety. So we've kind of given, you know, our plan and our concept to them. But, you know, that the, I think that if you we talk about this road from, you know, homeless to what Jonathan and I call homeless to healthy. You know, that getting a HMIS system, I think, from a countywide perspective, so that it better coordinates the assets that are being utilized and referrals and other things. The county system just really doesn't incorporate the charities other than just the governmental agencies. And then you compile that with, you know, the spokes of that wheel on that road or, you know, all the charities working together. And then the challenge comes in of all these churches that all want to do their disparate effort. Well, if we could get our congregations to start adopting the charities. So you have three or four churches that adopt the Good News Rescue Mission, North Valley Catholic Social Services, FaithWorks, People of Progress, and their volunteer support and their financial support goes to those charities. Yeah. Now they're part of that overall strategic plan, mm-hmm. and they're not mm-hmm. deterring from what the charities are actually doing and moving people down that case management road.
There's organizations out there that will not give to a faith-based charity. I mean, it's not in their charter, surprisingly. That Good News Rescue Mission or any type of faith-based ministry or helping organization will never get a cent from them. Now, when we say low-income housing, a lot of people immediately see tenements. They see walls punched in. They see yards. They see havens of for drug dealing and all this. Am I right? In many cases, when you hear this?
Absolutely, because I believe historically that's what happened. Though
is what the case management thing you're talking about.
Yes, and if our county and if our city are behind this, I think we're wise enough to not allow something like that to happen. Though, at the same time, if it's a private sector, well, now you're going to have to really involve your chief of police, because now you're looking at how is he going to have to patrol that as well, and what is that going to bring onto him at the same time. So the case management is going to be huge. The private sector on it is that's the one that, you know, people have a little more leeway of, and as we've seen in some of the hotels, people can become slumlords at the same time.
Well, and that's about a business practice and a decision by the business owner. I mean, if you look at where our poorest of our community have to go, it's those downtown hotels. And when we do a health inspection on one and there's, you know, blood, urine, and human waste on the walls, and there's daisy chains of you know, extension cords, they're substandard living. What they showed for us for a rent-ready room is not compatible by a human being. It's so we're dealing with a poor business practice there. So I'll reference back to, you know, where I came from in Stockton. There's a private nonprofit there called California Community Builders that takes over apartment complexes, renovates those apartment complexes, and rents them for $400 a month furnished, was what it was when I was there. We never have a problem at any of their complexes. And if we do, we tell the lady that runs it, and they're out because she has very staunch house rules and a waiting list of 2,000 people waiting to get in. So she doesn't need you there. She's doing you a service by giving you that low rent room. And if you don't appreciate it and you don't take care of it, she boots you out. So I think that there's a lot of organizations out there that have been very successful in transitional housing programs. The big challenge for us from a law enforcement perspective is always going to be our 290 or our sex registrant population. Because nobody wants to rent for them, and there's a lot of restrictions on where they can be housed based on, you know, their parole or probation. So that's always going to be a challenge.
We've only got like 2 minutes left here, and that just throws another wrench into it. You know, people are going to say this is a huge social giveaway program. It's just more tax money being given to people that don't want to work, and, you know, I mean, you're going to hear that. So sure. I think part of it is when you put all this together, and in August, that we have a community meeting like we did at Sequoia, and something else to lay this out to everybody and let everybody see it. You know, once it's put together.
That's funny you say that, because we were actually, Jonathan and I were trying to get you know, we there were, like I said, there's some other groups that have come into the strategic planning process, but we were actually going to go around, get buy-in from the other charities, and then I was going to hold a town hall meeting, have all of them. You know, it's nice to see somebody like Jonathan that's actually stepping up to be the leader in this cause, quite frankly, so that the chief isn't. My job is to deal with that criminal transient population.
It needs to be some, and it needs to come from the community because, frankly, the community needs to lead our political leaders because they seem to have their hands tied in so many ways. So it has to come from the community leaders.
And we were planning that process. We put it on hold, and it would be a chance for Jonathan and his comrades to step up and be the leaders, and a chance for Chief Fletty to exit stage right and let the social services be the lead in this.
Okay. All right. Jonathan Andrews, Ken White, Chief Rob Fletty, thanks for being here. Of course, Ken and Jonathan from Good News Rescue Mission. This is just the first show on this. We've got a lot more to get out like this. And tomorrow, Trish Clark is joining me in her own inimitable brand of... commentary. Yeah, Trish Clark. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
Gates of hell, but I won't back down. Gonna stand my ground.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. House lawmakers getting their first closed-door look at the controversial nuclear deal with Iran, and the critics are piling on.
We have to get this right, because the world will never be the same.
Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy calling it the most critical issue facing Congress. Speaker John Boehner.
While the president's Iran deal may have been applauded at the United Nations, I think he faces serious skepticism here at home.
Calling it a threat to national security, Boehner again vowed to do everything possible to stop it.
SRN's Wally Hines on Capitol Hill. Donald Trump takes his Republican presidential campaign to the Tex-Mex border tomorrow. He'll be visiting Laredo, Texas, have a meeting with members of the union representing border control agents. The Texas Department of Public Safety says a dash cam video showing the controversial and confrontational July 10th arrest of a black motorist by a trooper was not...